Blog Talk Radio.
It's Mike Volin. I'm back. I really didn't go anywhere, but I guess you could say I'm back because it's been a while. Okay, tonight we're going to have a great show, and we're going to have future shows, and I have some shows lined up. I will not be the only one doing the show, but we have other people, and I'll announce that in a minute. So tonight we're going to have Commander Charles Kirshner, Mickey Booth, Sharon Rondeau, and any other surprise guests that may pop up here at any time. And we're going to go with that. And tonight's subject is what seems to be hot, hotter than ever, hotter than before, about the Natural Born Citizens Clause. I mean, the arguments are getting insane. People going back and forth, and I appreciate all the patriots, all my Twitter friends, all my Twitter accounts, my Facebook friends, my Parler friends, my staff's been with me. Thank you very much. Tonight we have Miss Ruth and Ed Call Screening. Thank you very much. They've been with me forever. Okay, with that, the call-in number, which we had trouble with earlier tonight. I logged in early and tried to get on through the call-in number, is 516-387-1325, 516-387-1325. Now, when you call in, if you're a guest, or if you call into that number, you can listen to the show, driving down the road, sunbathing, whatever it may be. But when you want to make a comment, when you want to get on the air and speak to me and speak to the audience, you have to push the number one button. The number one button would signify you want to get on the air. We have your this display here in my studio, and it'll put up a flag like you're raising your hand in school. Oh, teacher, teacher, I have the answer to the question. We'll see that, and then my call screeners will speak to you and get your name, where you're from, and your name, and what you want to talk about. Another thing is, no unidentified callers. Do not block your number. We will not accept your call. Nothing. Nothing at all. Because we've had the situation before where people have begged to come on. They've had technical difficulties, and they couldn't do this. They couldn't do that. They were on their daughter's phone, and then the second I put them on the phone, they start spewing that garbage. Of course, I hang up politely. I give them a second or two. I try to respond. Hold on. What are you talking about? Stop. And it just goes on and on and on from there. No unidentified call numbers. That's because I've identified myself over these past few years, several years, almost a decade, if not going on a decade, as Mike Volin. And our website is wheresobamasbirthcertificate.com. That's how we started this radio show, which has morphed into WOBC radio over the years. But like I was saying, no unidentified callers. My phone number, my cell number, 570-284-7477. I'll say it again, 570-284-7477. Not like a lot of people who disguise themselves, who have some cartoon character and goes on Twitter and tries to tweet something and tell us that that is what we have to believe without even a debate, or block somebody within two or three tweets and runs away. No, 570-284-7477, just gave it out. You call that number, and I've answered every call. If I haven't answered a call and you leave a voicemail, I will call you back. That's how we got to be where we are today. I'm waiting for my guest to log in. I want to give a shout-out tonight to some special people that are listening. Hello, Jojo, Nick, Grace, and our newest family member, Jacob Richard. I hope all's going well tonight. I'd like to give a shout out to Dwayne and all the truck drivers that feed America, that bring America all their goods across this nation. I want you to think about something. Truckers deliver it. If you've touched it, a trucker has bought it. Imagine if they went on strike and decided to leave their trucks. How would the food supply get to the stores? How would the gasoline get to the gas stations, and et cetera? We do have a sort of dangerous job being out there on the road, trying to avoid every obstacle there is, including cars and deer and buffalo and horses that like to run out in front of my truck. But the truckers are a big part of this country. A great shout out to the truckers. I'd also like to give a shout out to Upendra. I know you're listening out there, buddy, and I'll be down to see you tomorrow, maybe. Thank you very much. Okay, I see some of our guests are starting to line up. I'm waiting for the call screeners to get them lined up, queued up in the queue so I can know who's who here. We're having, I guess you can say, regular shows, actually, in the near future. And one of them will be next, let me check my calendar here, that will be next Tuesday, the 25th at 6 p.m. Pacific, I believe, which will be 9 p.m. Eastern. And that's going to be given by Corey. And as soon as he calls in, I'll get him on the air for a minute or two so he can announce it himself. He's going to be the host of the show, and he's going to go over Antifa, the BLM, the Democratic Party. Does it have a connection? I think so. I have to think where the money's coming from, and when you start thinking about it, I believe that's where the money's coming from. Okay, we have a whole bunch of people lined up. I am going to bring our first guest on. He's a patriot. He's a commander. I've known him 9 or 10 years. We did a lot of things together. We did a lot of projects. We came up with some brilliant ideas. He spent a lot of money. I certainly spent a lot of money in trying to get the word out originally about Obama's birth certificate. We made some waves. We mailed out what a sheriff kit is. If you don't know what a sheriff kit, that's the investigation from the Maricopa County Sheriff's Department about the forged birth certificate that the White House put on the White House website April 27, 2011. We have made sheriff kits available on DVD, and they're actually still available. I went to Congress, tried to get them to listen. Some of them did. Most of them didn't. They gave me every excuse under the world. It's phony. No, we're not going to investigate it. We're going to have race riots in the street. What do we have today? They're going to be overturning police cars. Nobody's going to believe us. Some of them told me that it was top management in the House, and that would have been Mr. Boehner at the time. They couldn't get it past him. And a few of them are still on our side, told us that they want us to get more congressmen on board. And we did. We pecked away one on one. But it never went anywhere. It got buried in Congress. I'm astounded why nobody actually looked at it. Like I said, some did. Why wasn't there something brought out? Some were ready to step forward, but they were told not to. Probably got that little tap on the shoulder, unfortunately. Okay. So Sharon Rondo will be on the air the second hour of the show. If you want to call in, you can ask Commander Kirshner when I get him on the air, and we're going to go into this right now. I see a lot of people holding. My call screeners are busy working at it. Okay, here's a name and a blast from the past. Commander Kirshner, welcome back to the show.
Good evening, Mike. Good to talk to you again. It's been a long time.
It sure has, and I gave a little description of what you did, what I did, how we tried to do it, the forces that were against us, which basically is our government and our leadership at the time, even though we have a different type of leadership.
We've seen the deep state in operation against Donald Trump, haven't we?
Oh, we certainly have, and we knew that was coming a long time before even he got elected, even before he thought about running for office. Of course, they were just scared to death that he would do what he's doing right now.
That's correct. And I think a lot of these same characters were behind the foisting of the ineligible Obama onto the nation, and certainly behind his forged documents. I believe that. Same characters, Brennan, Comey, Valerie Jarrett, Michelle, Obama himself, Joe Biden. This is why one of the reasons we couldn't get any controlling legal authority at the federal government to take a look at this. They were shooting it down. All the FBI officers were shooting down everything. They wouldn't even look at it.
It's my opinion. Come full circle.
Now they want to do it again with Kamala Harris.
No. Well, one reason we're having this show is because of the sudden outburst. People that are interested in, on both sides too. I think people are getting fed up, and what they're doing is they're just saying, you know what, it's been long enough. I need to stand up. I need to do something. What can I do? And I think that's why it's become a big back and forth between.
Even if we don't win, we've got to attempt to fight the battle because Kamala Harris is even. I mean, say you believe Obama's life narrative. Let's say it's all true. At least he had two of the three legs of natural-born citizen, born in the USA and a citizen mother. Now they want to foist Kamala Harris onto us, who just has one leg, which is born in the USA. And how much foreign influence at birth or otherwise are we going to accept in the chief offices of the United States or the president and vice president? This is exactly what John Jay wrote to George Washington to prevent. He wanted a strong check to the admission of foreigners into the administration of a national government. And he suggested to George Washington in his July of 1787 letter to provide a strong check by putting the natural born citizen term into the eligibility clause for the president so that the commander-in-chief of the army shall not be given or devolve on anybody natural-born citizen. This is going to be a strong check. Well, how can it be a strong check if anybody who's born a citizen by any means is acceptable to be the president or vice president? How is that a strong check that Kamala Harris, a born a dual citizen of the United States, doesn't have foreign influence on her? She has foreign citizenship and allegiance to the country of Jamaica by birth via a foreign national Jamaican father who was here on a student visa. So,
good point.
And her mother was here from India. So how much foreign influence on the president and vice president who could become the commander-in-chief are we going to allow? How much foreign influence was acceptable to the founders and framers when they used that term? I say none. They wanted no foreign influence on who could be the commander-in-chief. Now they're trying to argue that even the slightest claim to citizenship at birth gives you the right to be a natural-born citizen. And talk about the courts and the judges. I mean, look at what they did to General Flynn. And look what they did to Roger Stone as far as these judges. I mean, my God, our judges, they're just as corrupt, it seems, as the politicians. I mean, I was blocked from getting into court on technicalities. You know that. You remember that. Don't have standing. Your citizen has standing.
No.
So they think they're going to keep pushing the envelope until they're stopped, and I don't know.
Charlie, I
was hoping Donald Trump would bring this up, but I'm afraid he's sort of dodging it right now because of the election. He doesn't want to get into it again because of the election, but it's a shame, but that's my opinion.
And I think his whole focus is getting unreelected. He's got to be careful what he does. He doesn't want to be labeled a birther again, even though he's the one that pretty much
forced
Obama to
release
him.
They're going to label him that regardless, whether he brings it up or not. So,
oh, sure.
I don't know. But he's got to judge what he needs to do to get reelected. And maybe after he's reelected, he'll go there. Maybe then.
Amanda, hold on a minute. My host for the show next week finally called in.
Sure.
We had some trouble with the call-in number here. I'm going to bring him on the air quickly. He's going to announce himself, and I think he's still there. And with that, I'm going to say, hello, Corey, are you there?
Hey, Mike, I'm here.
Okay, folks, this is a host of my show next week. He's been on Blog Talk Radio many years ago. He's actually been a guest on my show. We actually did a whole entire show on with him. And, Corey, why don't you go ahead and let people know what time the show is and what it is going to be about. And maybe can you give like a 60-second introduction of who you are, how people would know you?
Oh, Mike, I used to be the co-host of Black Conservative Show like 12, 11 years ago on Blog Talk. And that kind of went away about 2011, I want to say. But I've been very active in the Patriot militia community for many years, going probably a little bit before Obama even. So, and I know we did the show on LaVoy Finneca a little over 2 years ago, the guy that was gunned down by the FBI at the Oregon standoff that I was a part of. So lately I've been doing security at our Capitol, stopping BLM and Antifa from destroying any monuments and statues, because we do have a law enforcement memorial for all the cops that have been killed in the state of Nevada, law enforcement. And we have a veterans memorial for all veterans that have died from the state of Nevada every war since the Civil War. So I've been having a whole fun time with keeping BLM and Antifa from destroying that. And I have seen the parallels between the two. We had Antifa just here at the Capitol last Saturday, and BLM, of course, welcomed them with open arms. And they've cried and moaned about, oh, BLM is hijacked or Antifa has hijacked them. No, they're their foot soldiers. So I've seen it with my own eyes.
Okay,
so
great.
Anyway,
maybe
I want to kind of tie all that in.
You were at the standoff in Oregon at the Malheur Refuge.
Yes.
Yep. So if that don't bring you people's attention, I don't know. I thank you for being a patriot. I thank you for guarding the statues at night. I know where you're guarding. Thank you very much. It's amazing what they're doing. And we'll see you next Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 Eastern, and that's a two-hour show, right?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, I'm going to move on, Corey. I'm going to put you on hold for a little while here while I get the other calls. We've got Neil from California. Hold on. I see you, Neil, Sergeant Jeff Harrison.
Yep.
Okay, folks, there you have it. Corey LeCue will be my new host helping me out because I can't do it anymore. I've decided to push on to Election Day to get the news out. Another thing is we would have trouble early, like I mentioned, of the guest calling in at 516-387-1325. For some reason, only when I do my show do we have trouble. Okay, Commander, I wanted to get back to you there before we pick up Neil from California, who has a question. He's a true patriot. He's
sure.
been on my show before. Neil Turner, I'm sure you know him.
Oh, Neil Turner.
You mentioned
Turner.
Before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, he's standing right. Mm-hmm. You mentioned before
sure.
allegiance. Now, let's go back to when the country was being formed. They didn't want any foreign influence, and most of the people that all the people that came
well, that's,
to this country.
Well, that's the opposite side of the coin of citizenship. You get protection of being a citizen of a country. In return, they demand your allegiance. So when you're given citizenship of a country, you have a responsibility to give back your allegiance. That's
right.
The natural law since the beginning of time.
And that goes to how
so
your parents bring
you up. So if you're a citizen
of
a foreign country, you owe that country allegiance.
Mm-hmm. And that brings us up to your parents' upbringing, what they taught you as a child, like let's use Obama for example, Frank Marshall Davis, basically mentoring Obama, feeding him.
If your parents aren't fully marinated in American culture and have a disavowed foreign allegiances and citizenships, they're going to pass along their lack of full allegiance to this country as you grow up.
That's true. And today we have to worry about that even more. And the reason for that is look at our spy network. Look at the spy network all over the world.
Sure.
I mean,
they just got a Chinese guy again in the CIA.
Yes. Either the Russians stole the elections, the Russians are into it, the Ukraine, the Chinese are all over it, the Chinese are.
Well, those are all hoaxes made up. You know, they've been. You know, we've had foreign people trying to infiltrate and spy since we had a country. I mean, but the idea that the collusion with Trump—that's all a hoax. And Ukraine, that was a piggy bank for the Democrats' party. They just accused Trump of doing what they were doing, you know, selling
Charlie, it may be a hoax, but I'm telling you, the electronic surveillance that's enabled today in modern age technology. Right. So that a lot more spying going on. Let's see who we can fit into the office here. Let's see who they can sneak
in. Tracking, sure, tracking, yeah. By the way, for people who don't maybe know of my writings, they should go to protectourliberty.org, protectourliberty.org. That's my website. And my blog is cdrkirchner.wordpress.com, cdrkirchner, K-E-R-C-H-N-E-R, .wordpress.com. And they can see all my writings for the last 12 years.
And that link is on my website at wheresobamasbirthcertificate.com, and that's where it's going to stay. It's been there forever.
And I'm not just speaking out against Democrats. I spoke out against Ted Cruz, Jindal, Nikki Haley, you know, Marco Rubio. These are other people that are not natural-born citizens. They were not born with sole allegiance to this country. Unity of citizenship. In other words, a dual citizen is exactly what John Jay was writing to George Washington about. You cannot be a dual citizen and have sole allegiance to this country and not have foreign influence on you if you're a dual citizen. So how is allowing anybody with any foreign influence by birth and allegiance to another country by birth, how is relaxing that to only one leg of the three legs is required? That's not a strong check. That's a weak check when you can be a citizen by any means you can get it. Just one little thread of the three. And you're now a natural-born citizen? No. It's just... Now, you got to remember, back in the days of the founders, if you're born in this country and your father was a citizen, the wife automatically, by coverture, the natural law, the law of nations, coverture, the wife was automatically a citizen. So you didn't have the issue of divided citizenship like you have today. But you got to remember the original intent of that natural born, as they understood it back there, was unity of citizenship, that the mother and father were citizens. She got it by coverture. He was a father, or she was a citizen too, and he was born in a country that's a natural born citizen, born with no foreign allegiance or citizenship. Now today, because they've given the women independent citizenship, which is fine, we now have to make sure that the wife and the mother is also a citizen, just like the father, and be born in this country, to achieve the founder's intent, a strong check against foreign influence. So if you, by any of those three legs, father, mother, or place of birth, get foreign citizenship, you're not a natural-born citizen, and it's no longer a strong check to allow you to be the president or vice president. So all these people that want to weaken this and argue that this statutory law makes them a citizen at birth, it's a natural-born citizen at birth, not a citizen at birth. And how much foreign influence are they going to allow in the president and commander of our military and the vice president? How much foreign influence is too much for these people? I say no foreign influence. That's what the founders intended. And they put a grandfather clause for all the people living then that said you only had to be a citizen then. And now when the founding generation was gone, you had to be a natural-born citizen. You had to be the child of citizens born in this country.
I'm with you. Okay, hold on, Charlie. Let's
I know you are, but
audience.
There's a lot of people that they just don't get it. They don't want to get it.
And like I said before, back when the country was being formed, everybody came from outside the country, and there was, you know, influx. People were fleeing here because
if they were part of the founding of this country, they were exempt. They just had to be a citizen. But after they were all gone, they had to be a natural born, meaning the second generation Americans, the children of the original citizens, they were then eligible under the natural born citizen clause. I mean, how much foreign influence are we going to allow? Is just being born in this country a strong check against foreign influence if both your mother and father were foreigners here on a visa? Or maybe illegal aliens here? That'll be the next step. Or a tourist baby that they came here for 2 weeks to have their baby and go back to communist China? How far are they going to push this?
That's a great example. Would that make that person eligible according to the
according
today's
to
standards?
People, all you got to do is have citizenship by birth by any means possible, any statutory law. That's all you need. 14th Amendment is an act of Congress. It's another man-made act and law. You know, Wong Kim Ark decision made that Chinese fellow who was born in San Francisco a permanent resident, not students on a visa, permanent residents that were here. They made him a citizen at birth, not a natural born. The holding does not say they made him a natural born, declared him a natural born citizen. That's a lie when people say Wong Kim Ark decided this. They talk about it and say, yeah, yeah, he became a citizen at birth, and then they go and throw the word natural born in their argument after the fact. It's not in the original holding. It may be in the dicta talking about it where people were arguing one way or the other. But in the decision, he was simply a citizen at birth. So any way you get citizens at birth, you can now be the president or vice president. That is not a strong check against a person having dual citizenship with the intended foreign allegiance and citizenship getting to be the commander of our military. And as a retired commander in the United States Navy serving 33 years, that is repugnant to me, and it should be repugnant to every member of the military that someday you will have a person who's a dual or triple citizen as the president or vice president through the back door becoming the president, being commander of the military. How are you going to know where their true allegiance is when they have allegiance to two or three countries? Ted Cruz would have had allegiance to three countries by his birth circumstances.
This is true.
This is not about politics. It's not about political party. It's not about race or anything like that. It's about the Constitution and how much foreign influence we're going to allow to be in the highest elected offices of our country.
Good point. Charlie, hold on a minute. We're going to come up for air for a minute. Mickey, I know you're out there holding on. We're going to bring you on for a minute. In the chat room, I'd like to say hi to WOBC2. Thank you, if that's you, Bill. Welcome back, and we have Flightline and two others. Okay, we're going to take a question from the audience here, then we're going to get to Neil. I also like to say hi to Janet from Alabama. Welcome to the show. Okay, guys, it's 516-387-1325, 516-387-1325. Wow, we have a lot of listeners tonight, and the show is packed, and I appreciate you all taking your time, especially my Twitter friends. Thank you very much. Press the number one button if you want to get on the air. You can listen for a while. If you want to comment, something pops into your head, that's fine. Okay, we're going to switch gears here, and we are going to go to Neil Turner. Neil, welcome back to the show. Thank you very much.
Hello?
Neil? Yes.
This is Neil, but this is Neil in Connecticut.
I have the wrong line. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Neil.
Yes. I have quite a resume concerning the natural born issue. I go back, and every single day I would read the emails of the birther report and the amount of constitutional law and other political issues I learned was incredible. So when that stopped, of course, I now read every day Sharon's website. Now, what I attempted to do, well, I was actually able to do it, was a week ago, yesterday and Monday, previous week, I called in to a radio talk show that's on from 3 to 6, on WTIC Radio in Hartford, which is hosted by a guy by the name of Todd. And I was the first one to bring up the natural citizen issue. And he put me on the air. Now, he had to short me because of another guest, so I called back on Tuesday. So I had quite a conversation with the screener previous to being put on the air, and I was able to talk to Todd again for a few minutes, and I started something, and I started him thinking, and I asked if he had done his research. Now, my point is, it's extremely frustrating to me as an individual because I'm a media hawk. Broadcast media, cable media, newspaper, emails, radio talk shows, a whole gamut. And it's all very well and good, excellent in fact, about the Bertha Report and Sharon. But it seems to me that what has to be done here by the terrific bloggers on Sharon's site, what's it going to take to get one of Sharon's bloggers or Sharon herself or you talking on radio talk shows over the air or cable shows? This is a like a circle.
They won't put Commander Kirchner on. I've tried dozens of times. They won't put me on the air because I know the facts. They want to put people on the air who don't know the facts.
Well, exactly correct. And I told Todd Screener, I gave him all the information about Sharon's website, and I said, call and try to get Sharon on the air if indeed she does radio appearances. And
hey, Neil,
he was, yes?
Neil, Sharon will be on after the 9 o'clock hour on the show tonight.
Put out her website address at this time. I would think it would be good to get her address out since he's talking about it.
Yes,
right.
He'll hold on. It's thepostemail.com. Thepostemail.com. You can find it on my website, WesObamasBirthCertificate.com.
Right.
I'm also going to put it in the chat room.
And, Neil, please go to protectourliberty.org, protectourliberty.org, and you can read everything there. I go back to, as a contributor to the Bertha Report, I go back to the summer of 2008.
I've already read it all. Believe me.
Great.
And continue
Great.
To read it. And the
Good.
Opinions. And but, it, okay, let me end with this. I don't know whether it was MSNBC. It might have been CNN. And because of what was written in Newsweek, yeah, I'm sure you heard about the Newsweek editorial and the opinion
piece. I was mentioned in it, Neil.
Right. Well, they were discussing that. And I was amazed the extent to which this caused CNN and their attention. Of course, they immediately deviated into racism, birthism, conspiracy theories. Oh, it just blows my mind. But and let me end with this. One of the opinion makers, I think it was a CNN, he said, listen, he said, the reason that Kamala Harris is eligible and a natural-born citizen is because it's the law. It's the law. It's final. It's done.
Tell them to cite the law. Tell them to cite the law. Literally cite the law that says exactly that. That a person only born in the United States with non-citizen parents here on student visas is a natural-born citizen. And don't leave out the adjectives. I want to see in the law where the words natural-born in. There is no statutory law doing that. There is no Supreme Court decision that's ever done that in the holding. Don't
I know
talk
all
about
that.
Dicta.
But, you see, they dismiss it.
Absolutely.
The
big lie. It's the big lie, Neil. The big
lie. Exactly. It's an incredible challenge to get this out into the mainstream media in whatever form.
Neil, do you know of Judge Napolitano?
Absolutely. I know him all. I'm a media
hawk. He had a TV show one time, and we petitioned him. He asked for names of people to get on the air and subject matter. And so we went in there, and we put our name and my attorney, Mario Puzo, in there, and the subject of natural-born citizen.
Right.
Within days, we were voted the number one topic and a number one guest to be put on. He totally ignored it and never put us on.
Well, okay,
one example.
Here's another one
put us on.
That goes back, it goes back to Bertha Report days. Remember, Sean Hannity was all set to put Zulu on the air on his 9 to 10 show or whatever. And Zulu was all set to go on. What happened? The people in the background of Fox News said, no, 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 no. He's not going on the air.
Yeah, they were going to do a Lou Dobbs. They're going to do a Lou Dobbs on him. Lou Dobbs got fired for talking about it.
Exactly. And another person who never mentions this, because it is complicated, is Rush Limbaugh. You'll never hear Rush Limbaugh refer to the natural birth issue. Never
they
has.
Were brought
I've
into
been
a, they were brought years. Under the Bush administration. All the national broadcasters were brought into a room and threatened.
Oh
by
yes.
The national by the national law enforcement people that if your station allows you to say this anything about this, we're going to pull your license.
I'm aware of that.
I have a report. With a name of the person who was at one of those meetings, and he made a sworn affidavit as to what was said in there, and that's who told me about this. He was physically in a meeting where government officials told the legal staff, the owners of the business, and the talking heads, they cannot touch this. This is back in 2008, 2009. With
right.
Obama, or your license will be pulled under George Bush.
Is that because Obama was supposedly the first black president?
No, because the threats were made that 100 cities were born. That was what was told to them. So yeah, there was a racial angle in their argument that the black Americans will never accept the fact that Obama won't be sworn in.
Obama could have been born in Indonesia. He could have been born in Kenya.
He could have been born in Canada, too, Neil.
I know that.
Stories about that.
I follow the report. I know it all. But I'm calling tonight to share my... So is it actually impossible to get this out beyond Sharon's blog, or get it out of
beyond...
Well,
if you're a media expert, why don't you go out there and try to get Sharon on the air? She's got even more expertise than I do at this point, because I'm getting old, you know, and I don't want to pull a Joe Biden tonight. You know, I don't want to pull a Joe Biden.
Right. WTIC in Hartford is one of the biggest, it's a 50-watt station in Hartford. It's one of the biggest stations in Connecticut.
Sharon lives in Connecticut. Get
Canterbury.
Put Sharon on. Get Sharon on that show.
Well,
This is what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to have Sharon on later in the show. If you want to speak to Sharon, and it's going to sound a little strange, you need to hang up and then call back, but don't push the number one button until Sharon comes on the air. Because I can't take the number one button signifying you want to get on the air. And then I'll put you on the air with Sharon, and then you can ask Sharon directly.
Neil, do you have a question for me, Commander Kirchner, at this moment, since you called in?
Well, no, I don't, because you are so explicit and so thorough. And
thank you.
So have such longevity. What could I ask you that you haven't already written and I haven't already read?
Well, then when you go on these shows and you get through and you mention Sharon's website, also mention protectourliberty.org.
But that's not going to do any good if the screener of Todd's show from 3 to 6, Monday through Friday on WTIC in Hartford, if the screener or the producer or Todd don't make the effort, and Todd...
If you get on the air, say if you want to know where to learn more, give them Sharon's website and give them my website. We've got all the legacy information going back, including on Birth Report. I have 100 full-page ads ran in the Washington Times. You can go to
that.
My website and see. You can go to my website and see them in the archives.
Oh yeah.
I spent tens of thousands of dollars on those ads. And every member of Congress, every member of the United States Cabinet, every major conservative, over 150,000 subscribers, and then the second-hand readers, got that every week. Sheriff Arpaio was covered in there, the stolen Social Security number, the forged birth certificate, the lack of constitutional eligibility, explaining natural-born citizen, covering my lawsuit. I was in there for 3.5 years, full-page ads, every other week or every week.
Okay,
Neil?
Well, one final question. Other than the obvious, do you have, either of you have a real background motive and reason as to why this was prohibitive in any type of mainstream legacy news. Is it because Obama...
Because they're in on it. Operation Mockbird, read about it. They control the media. The far left, the deep state, they control the media today. They pretty well controlled it for the last 40, 50 years. They set them... They are in cahoots with a socialist, Marxist, globalist that are now in control of the Democratic Party and the mainstream media.
Well, I know all that.
In many cases, our courts. They control our courts. They control our college academia. They're controlling our school system. They've been, you know, the SDS, Students for Democratic Society? Saul Alinsky told those young kids, get out of the streets, finish your college education, go to work for the government or non-government organizations, and in 40 years you'll be at the top of a pile, and we will then take over this country. All those Students for Democratic Society members are now at the peak of their power in the political party, the media. They're everywhere. There was 100 to 200,000 of these kids, hardcore leftists. In fact, the judge who handled my lawsuit in New Jersey, who was assigned after the original judge got it, the guy that was assigned, I suspect he was a member of the Students for Democratic Society chapter of Princeton University. I couldn't find a list of the members, but he gave the eulogy at the wake of the guy who was the president of the chapter at that time. And he was assigned to my case by the Third Circuit to take my case and ditch it, which is what he did on technicalities. That's how infiltrated this. He was a rhino. He got elected. He got elected a judge in the Third Circuit by Bush. He got nominated, put in there. He was a rhino, but he was formerly a Student for Democratic Society member, as far as I can tell. And if I could provide the proof and the evidence 100%, I'd publish it. But circumstantially,
let me give you another highlight. I was listening to Todd later on Tuesday, and he said, and I emphasized the fact about you're not a natural-born citizen unless both of your parents are U.S. citizens. And so I emphasized that very strongly. Later on, there was a guy from West Hartford who called in who was as knowledgeable about the situation and quoted Constitution to Todd. And Todd, he has a constitution that he shows. He keeps a copy. So I heard him say later on, but what he did, he said Neil probably is correct in saying a natural-born citizen
Mike, I don't want to tell you how to run the show, but I want to talk about Kamala Harris, not just a natural-born citizen. We got to talk about Kamala because she's the current the current target as far as the far
left.
Let
me make
getting,
a point here.
They want to get another foreign influence into the high office.
Neil, I got to move on.
Todd got a couple of lawyers on the show, and they said the issue was settled. We don't have to worry about it.
And we've been there. That's why we're doing the show. It's unbelievable. You have to find out where the lawyers are, how they feel, where they went to law school. Neil, I really got to move on.
I know. Thank you very much for the amount of time you've extended.
Okay,
good talking to you, Neil.
Back. Don't push the number one button. Thank you very much for calling in.
Very good. Thank you.
Well, that shows you the passion of the people that are out there, and they want to get the message. They can't get past the call screeners. Okay, I have a whole bunch of people. I'm going to get to you. I'm going to bring on, let's see, we got Chris wanting to get on the air. We got Gary. Gary, hold on. I know you're out there. I'm trying to squeeze everybody in. I'm going to limit your time. We do have Sharon Rondeau coming up sometime after the 9 o'clock hour.
I just wanted to say one more thing, Mike. Before you, I wrote a white paper called "The Who, What, When, Where, Why, and How the Natural Born Citizen Term Got in Our U.S. Constitution." If people want to get a copy, they can download a PDF copy on protectourliberty.org. Go there; it has all the answers and the legal citations for everything. The Who, What, When, Where, Why, How of a natural born citizen term in our Constitution. You know that when you studied journalism, maybe it's always the who, what, when, where, why, and how, right? Well, I wrote a paper on exactly that title, and that's. Did people know out there and also know that the Jamaican Constitution made Kamala Harris a Jamaican citizen at birth? It's in the Constitution. She has no choice in it. She was born a citizen of Jamaica.
Thank you, thank you for that. Okay, hold on, everybody. I'm going to take just a quick 10-second break, and I'm going to bring on Mickey Booth.
Hi, this is Sharon Rondo from thepostemail.com, and you are listening to Mike Volin on WOBC Radio.
I'd like to thank Ms. Sharon for taking the time out for doing that audio clip. Great. We worked together great. I spoke to her this week, and she's going to be on the show later. Okay, let's bring our second guest on, and then we're going to continue on with the callers. And with that, I'm going to bring on my friend, Mickey Booth. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Good to hear everybody. It's kind of like a reunion, you know. We haven't done this. We've been through all of this, yeah.
It sort of is. And I want to remind the audience that I've met most of the people. I've met Mr. Kirshner. I've met Mickey. I've met a lot of you that were involved in the birth certificate issue. Now we're in the NBC issue. They're sort of intertwined together. Actually, the opposition sort of intertwined it together to make us all look like idiots. But that's how we work together. We're all in different parts of the country, so we had a great effort. Okay, Mickey, say hello to the audience. Tell them a little bit about yourself, and I want to move on to our next caller because we're getting flooded with calls right now.
You bet. I'm going to keep it kind of short. I'm Mickey Booth. I'm also known as the Birther Princess. That was the title given to me, actually, by the left-wing media. And they did that because it was everywhere that I turned up, I was talking about Obama being a fraud and his birth certificate being a forgery. So I got a national following, and, you know, I met up with all of the other people that were trying to get this, you know, attention on this and people to listen to it, but we were blocked at every turn. And one of the things that that they did to us is they actually paid people. We called them Obama operatives to shut us up, because according to the DNC and Hillary, the best thing that they could hurt Trump with was the birther issue. And so that's why, you know, they hated birthers and stuff. And so we all, you know, were with President Trump, you know, at the time, basically. And I just heard it recently by the news media, kind of behind the scenes, that they said, be careful with the birthers. They're the ones that got Trump elected. And the same thing now that has come up is with this QAnon. There's a lot of followers, and you've probably heard, you know, on the news that there, especially these reporters questioning him about QAnon, because they want this conspiracy of kooks and whatever they call them to rub off on Trump. And somebody even asked it today, you know, do you follow them, or, you know, what do you know about them? And he says he doesn't really know anything. Well, of course we know he does, but it's such a big following that it's going to happen again. The QAnon people and the birthers are going to get Trump elected again. And the lamestream media knows it. The left wing knows it. And this scares them. And so you notice that all of a sudden the flare up because of the Newsweek article, and everybody was talking about the birthers again, and then it quieted back down. And they don't want us to go there. They don't want the public to find out that Obama was illegitimate, when we point out that Kamala is as illegitimate, even more so than Obama, because she's just one leg of the stool test. She might have been born in California, but she's a citizen of Jamaica. And I heard Charles Kirchner say that because of their constitution in Jamaica, any citizen of Jamaica has a birth outside the country, that baby is a citizen of Jamaica. And the same in the constitution of India, from what I understand. I want to talk about my Twitter friends. I'm just going to mention them real quick. We've got Lori Deplorable Glosey, Chris Lawton, Ron Tidell, Loretta Stiles, Flo Patterson, Di Kelly, and J. Maureen Softly. They've got a good, you know, blog going basically on Twitter, And that's where we got the information about the India Constitution being the same as Jamaica. So she was born a citizen of India also. And they're doing some research, and it looks like Kamala may have communist roots on her mother's side from India. And then, of course, on her father's side, she's got ancestors that were that owned slaves on a plantation. But what's worse is he was a slave trader, not just a slave owner. So I want to bring up this, a couple of things, you know, about Kamala. And then I want to go back to why we get blocked at every turn. The Obama operatives are back. And I went down my list of people that I've blocked on Facebook and on Twitter. And I see that Bill Bryan is already out there, you know, just being a troll and trying to get us to engage with him.
That's Mr. Fogbow, right? That's Mr. Fogbow,
yes,
isn't
Fogbow.
It?
Yes.
He's the guy that had a picture with, he's wearing a Communist Party hat with a hammer and sickle. I saw a picture of him.
Oh, yeah. These people are flat-out communists, and they want to destroy this country. And they're part of the big effort, you know, to turn this country communism and, you know, against Donald Trump. And they're horrible and they're vicious. And Cindy Goff Montgomery, Daniel von Kofnet, James Spaeth, Joe Vandenberg, and Patrick Caliano. These are just a few of the people. But these trolls are paid Obama operatives. They get money from you know, it comes from George Soros, just like he funds Antifa and he funds Black Lives Matter. And he funds these operatives to go out and cause trouble and target us. And they did that back when we were trying to
The money usually makes two or three jumps from Soros to get to these operatives, but you're right. It does come from Soros and people like him.
Right. And, of course, the Democrat Party knows all about this, too. And so, anyway, when I see people, we're doing this to educate people and make them understand that there's a difference between citizen and natural-born citizen. If you look at the qualifications to be eligible for president and vice president, and then for the Senate and for the House, it's different. For the Senate and House, all you have to be is a citizen and then the age requirement, et cetera. And for president, you have to be a natural-born citizen, and for vice president and president. And that's because you have this higher qualification to totally, you know, there's not going to be any foreign influence. And
right.
So that's a simple thing. And yet the media keeps just pushing it, ramming it down everybody's throats that Kamala is a citizen. She was born in California. And then when you challenge them and say natural born citizen, you know, and they just say, well, she was born in California, you know, so she's a citizen. And they don't want the general public to catch on and understand that we're talking about two different things. Anyway,
that's correct. And all citizens at birth only get that of the statutory kind, like Kamala, through statutory law, Title 8, Section 1401, a naturalization law, or the 14th Amendment, all of which make you a citizen at birth, but not a natural born. Adjectives mean something in language, in Euler diagrams. It's logic. They're trying to, and they conflate and twist logic like a bunch of crazy lawyers. Like the CRS memo was all twisted logic, and that was written by lawyers in Congress, or for Congress.
Okay,
yep.
Mickey, hold on a minute. I'm going to take a phone call. Go ahead. I'm going to take a phone call here and direct it at you and Commander. See, they've been holding on a while. I'm going to go to the longest caller. And Chris, I'll get to you. Gary, I'll get to you, and everybody else that's holding on. So I know we're really getting into it. Natural born citizens clause. What does that mean? That the mother took Lamar's clauses and the person was born naturally from the womb? I mean, we're getting ridiculous here. I mean, really. Okay, hold on a minute. There,
well, Mike,
Mickey.
I'm finished. I can go. I know you've got a lot of people that want to come on.
No,
I can say bye at this point.
Yeah. No, Mickey, stay on.
You're part of the show.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yep. All right, we're going to go to Nathan, who's been holding on from Orlando. Nathan, you're on the air. Thank you for calling in. Go ahead with your question.
Yes. I will be real quick on this, okay? Listen, the only reason Obama got away with this was because the Republican Party, the Republican politicians, drove the getaway car. They brought this issue up on Obama when the people were screaming out this thing about Obama. Well, they did a McCain search and said, okay, because his dad was in the military and he was from this country, and they cleared him, but they never did take Obama. This was part of what brought up the Tea Party movement in 2010. One of their biggest questions was the birther issue. And here's the thing. I want to talk to that first caller that you guys spent a lot of time on. When you go to YouTube and type in Kenyan ambassador admits Obama born in Kenya, that was the morning after the election when we woke up, and they were asking him, you can listen to this, it's only 3 minutes. They were asking him about it, and he was happy. Their country, he's talking about, before this ever happened, they had plans of putting a monument in front of the hospital he went in, and then right above that, you'll see Obama talks about his birthplace. And not only that, every media over there and here spoke of him being the first Kenyan-born state senator, and then the first Kenyan-born.
And sir, two members of their General Assembly stated on the record, in an open session of their assembly,
okay,
that he is a citizen, he was born in Kenya.
And then one more thing on that. Trump did his investigation, poured his own money in because he wanted to know. He was convinced he's not a natural-born citizen. And then whenever he was running for president in 16 to try to reach out, I know he was trying to be political, and somebody had said something, and he made the statement, yeah, Obama was born in Hawaii. He did that to reach out to him, but they didn't reach back in friendship with him. They didn't care about him. They just kept attacking him. So
but
I don't
his
know
father
if he lost
was still his father still wasn't a citizen and wasn't even an immigrant. He's the only president that's father was never an immigrant to this country. Can you name another?
I know.
Since the founding era, there's no other president that had a father who was not even an immigrant to this country.
Yeah. Okay, but let me finish, and then I'm going to hang up. This thing, Michelle, you mentioned the candidates that had Michelle was linked to two countries in her dual citizenship, and nobody questioned that. But here's the thing, what we need to do with the Republicans. We need to tell the Republicans, you take this issue up in the next whatever 80 days, and you confirm that this lady is either she isn't, and put the proof in front of us, or we're going to vote for citizen candidates who have – this is what I do. From 2004, I made a vow I will never vote for a Republican ever again or Democrat, but mostly I was a Republican from 78 to 2004. I did a research of the Republican Party from the Great Depression up to 2004, and the Republicans have never done anything they run on except for the two terms of Reagan, and then they went right back to their policy. Here's what I do. I vote for citizen candidates who have a consistent resume. And that's it. I will not vote for a career politician. I would vote for Trump, but I can't because I know Pence's policy that he doesn't talk about, and none of it is Republican that he runs on. So I will vote for a citizen candidate. I'll vote my conscience, and I'll be praying that God keeps Trump in
well,
there.
Well, for
is
president,
right now,
you better be voting for a natural-born citizen, not just a citizen.
Yeah, I mean, I will vote for a natural-born citizen, but what I'm saying is I would vote for Trump, but I can't because here's the other part. In the Constitution, there is no two-party political system. There's no two candidates on one race ticket, and there's no electoral college. It is
electoral. Are you
going to
vote for Joe? What's his last name? I can't remember. Joe.
He's running for Senate, I think.
That's right. He's Jill's husband. What the heck? I'm having a Joe Biden moment here. What the heck?
Okay. Well, one last thing, and then I'll go on this. You know, Rush.
You're
going to
vote for Joe
Biden,
sir.
No, listen. No, I'm not going to vote for. I'm going to vote for a citizen. But anyway, Rush Limbaugh did take up the issue one time. He mentioned, made a statement. A lot of people thought he was going to take up the issue, and he never mentioned. He said one time that God and Obama both has the same thing in common. Neither one of them got a birth certificate, and that's the only time he ever mentioned it.
You're right. I remember that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Keep listening. I'm going to put you on hold. He's right. That interview was done the day after on ESPN on the Mike and Mike show, and the representative from Kenya did say that they had already erected a memorial. I have to play that audio clip. Okay,
yeah,
we're going to bring on Gary. Gary, hold on. You're going
to
be next. Yep.
I hope we get some questions, Mike. Sharon is on. Going to be on. I'm on. You're on. You know,
yep.
It's okay
we
get
more
statements, but we want to educate people, get some questions.
Yep. Okay, hold on 1 minute.
Do that
true.
For sure.
That
yeah, I
true.
Do want to ask you about another about Kamala Harris. During a radio interview this morning, she was asked about people questioning that she's not black enough, and I found it was important how she answered it and what she said. Let me play for you what she said.
So I was born in Oakland.
Yeah.
and raised in the United States, except for the years that I was in high school in Montreal, Canada. And look, this is the same thing they did to Barack.
Yes.
This is not new to us. And so I think that we know what they're trying to do. They're trying to do what has been happening over the last 2 years, which is powerful voices trying to sow hate and division among us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to recognize when we're being played.
What do you think of her response?
You know, I think it's a good response, and I think it's something she's going to have to answer more so in terms of politics, right? I mean, on the one hand, the question of blackness is about sort of where did you grow up and who your parents were, but it's also a question of how black are your politics, right? How well do they represent African Americans? And I think so her record as a prosecutor, I think when sometimes people talk about how black she is, in some ways they mean her record as a prosecutor and whether or not that is in line with what's best for African Americans, because we know about the disproportionate ways in which the criminal justice system has affected African Americans. But yeah, I mean, I think this is a question that she's going to get. You hear a lot of sort of Twitter buzz on this in some ways with people questioning whether or not she's just performing blackness. Is she really black? Sure, she went to Howard, but she married a white man, which I think she also addressed in that interview as well, and essentially said she married who she fell in love with. So, you know,
yep.
This will be a question that she'll have to answer, as we know that Obama did as well.
I find it.
Okay, there you have it. You heard Kamala Harris in her own words. They're trying to bring up the black
issue
again.
Yeah, you know, she's co-opting the cultural African-American community just like Obama did. Both Obama and Kamala Harris are descended from slave traders of foreign countries. They have nothing to do with the African-American culture. Neither one of them descends from the slaves who were brought here from Western Africa by Arabs and native tribes there who captured them and put them on the Portuguese slave ships and got them here. Not, they don't have any cultural affiliation with that. They're just taking advantage of that culture, and they think they have the vote in their pocket and pretend they're culturally African Americans when they're not. They're foreigners with foreign influence, dual citizens, both of them at birth, and they descend from slave traders. When people talk about reparations, those two people should be first in line with their wallets open.
Good point. I'm looking for Gary, who was holding on for a while here. I don't see him in the studio. I hope he didn't hang up accidentally.
Was that Gary W. from California?
Yes, it was. And
yeah, he did a great article. He did a great article on in researching the Jamaican Constitution. He did good work on that. He posted it on Sharon's website. Well, I guess he went to American Thinker. He went to American Thinker first. I'm sorry.
Yes, it was American Thinker. That's when he, where he got his information from. I don't see him on hold. Ruth, would you call Gary back, please, and ask him to come on the air? I was just about to click on him and bring him on the air. Okay, let's pick another caller here. I'm waiting for Miss Rondo to come on. We're going to go to Chris from New York. He's got a question or a comment about Jamaican and Indian, three allegiances, family of slave owners, 12 years in Canada, which is a good
slave
point.
Slave traders, not only owners.
Well,
both
traders
Obama
too.
And Kamala's ancestors were slave traders.
We could throw traders in there. But here we go again. Out of the country, in the country, did some education in other countries during their prime years, and now back, and now we have. And I don't believe Kamala Harris is black. She's Jamaican. She's Jamaican and Indian. So is it half Indian, half Jamaican? Jamaican's
not
black.
Her father is insulted by her statements.
Hmm. Good point. Okay, let's bring Chris on from New York. Chris, you are on the air.
Commander Kirshner and Mike and Mickey, it's been a while. This is like deja vu, and certainly when I talked to Sam Seawell of the American Thinker back in 2009, he got me going on the Pilgrim Society. I knew about the Annenberg challenge and the heirs and Obama connection to the heirs, the Annenberg challenge. I think Kamala's father is connected not only through the United Nations, but through the Milner and the Rhodes Group, which are connected to the Pilgrim Society, which, according to Sam Seawell, was a really big, they want to retake the country. And if they haven't retaken the country by now, you can certainly say that they have their tentacles into every aspect of our life. But that Commander Kirshner, I just wanted to let you know that Bill Van Allen and I are in the case in Texas, in West District of Texas, with Judge Hannon on USA or Texas versus USA on the DACA issue. We're actually in the docket down there, and that this is all very current stuff, and certainly the Five Eyes, the intelligence community has got to. They have a lot to pay for, and that I'm saying hello, but certainly the Pilgrim Society is very much front and center in this, and it's something.
Where are they based out of, and what is their mission statement?
They're actually based two blocks away from Trump Tower in Manhattan, and I served them in Manhattan. I served them in Great Britain, the main organization, and that I served them along with the Chinese embassy. And
what is their mission statement up front? What do they say they're trying to? What do they tell the public they're up to besides under the table up to?
Well, they're trying to. I think they're actually straightforward. They're trying to mesh American and British interests. Period. And they're very much connected to the Milner Group. And I think Bill Van Allen and I are thinking very seriously about going into court and actually suing them. I've done service on them. The service was completed about a week ago. Mm. And
Kamala Harris is connected to them, what, through the father?
Yes, through the father, through Thomas Harris.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay.
And he actually worked with the United Nations. He's connected directly to the United Nations. And that
that's sort of a globalist organization, isn't it? I mean, I'm pulling a Joe Biden now. Did they have something to do with global world order? I mean,
well, you know, I work with Douglas Gabriel and Tyler Gabriel of the American intelligence media, and they've done great work on the Pilgrim Society, and I'm using their material along with this material that they did on the slave trade out of Ireland. Now, Bill Van Allen and I are really, we've got a real series of issues with Judge Roberts. And, you know, I fired Obama.
I think they have something on Roberts. I heard it has something to do, I don't know, I just heard this about his adopted children, that they got something
right.
over him.
Two children. His father served on the Baltimore Council on Foreign Relations. He served as one of the directors of the Bank of Ireland, and his father actually arranged for the two children. Roberts has got epilepsy, and he didn't want to pass that on, so he got two Irish children through his father out of the...
But he didn't do it through normal channels, I heard. He went somehow around the international laws.
Right. Right. And his father was on the, and actually Roberts's wife is connected to the Pilgrim Society. It's very, very well integrated into our problems. And that my family was in the revolution, and believe
me. So was mine, sir. Member, son of the revolution by maybe half a dozen different ways, at least.
Well, my father was, and all my aunts and were all DAR. So, I appreciate all of that. But basically, we pretty much lost the edge on all this sort of stuff. And
we've lost our Constitution. They don't want to vote. They don't want to this whole thing about foreign influence and getting control over our country. They're gradually doing it.
Well,
they're
Pilgrim Society
in power who don't have sole allegiance to this country.
Right. Peabody, who was Peabody Cole, was working with Carnegie, and they were both in 1902 that were working with J.P. Morgan that did the Pilgrim Society, and that the whole idea was that they would promote the interrelationship with Britain and the United States, and according to Sam Sewell,
you know a lot more about that than I do, but I'm just concerned with. I got into this because I'm a retired commander in the military, and I took my oath to the Constitution seriously, and I felt a calling to step forward to live up to the Constitution and what John Jay wrote George Washington about, that this is a step too far. I mean, with Obama, they got away with it with two legs of the stool, and now they're putting somebody up with only one leg of the stool.
Well, I think the intelligence community it's time to dismantle them, and that the British, the Five Eyes group, pretty much control our.
Yeah, what about Italy though? That Five Eyes plus Italy on this last go around.
The Italy thing is interesting because of the COVID came out of Italy first, and that.
No, I'm talking about the hoax, the coup to get the silent coup to get Trump. Italy was heavily involved in that somehow.
Well, according to Steve Bochenek, he said that the worst aspects going into New Jersey were of the COVID came out of Italy, and then it came through the West Coast. So I don't have any immediate answers on these things, but certainly Trump has all of the information.
Maybe Sharon will have input on this.
Well, I'm going to listen intently, and I'm glad to hear your voice, and I'm glad to be on with you all. But certainly Bill Van Allen and I are going to pick up the cudgels on this, and possibly we're in the case down in Western District of Texas, and I think that Bill and I are going to go and take on the Pilgrims and take on Kamala Harris as a foreigner. I believe she's an illegal alien, personally.
Well, there's an argument for that because her parents were not legally residents of they were not permanent residents of this country. They were just here on a visa.
And she spent 12 years up at McGill. Her mother is with the
Jesuits. She was raised in Canada. McGill. Maybe her mother became a Canadian citizen. Maybe she became a Canadian citizen. And Kamala also by, derivative citizenship of Canada, too. Who knows?
Right. Just like Cruz was born up there, but... yeah, I believe that she's got some serious, but I don't think we don't have a judiciary, and that we haven't had a judiciary for a long time.
You're right there. I mean, looking at what they did to Flynn and Stone, I mean, it's outrageous.
Well, I'm in that Flynn case. You know, Bill Van Allen and I are in that case, and that we poke our nose into everything. And certainly, I believe it was Covington and Burling that set that whole thing up. You know, that's. That's Eric what's Holder's law firm, and that they set Flynn up because Flynn was going to do an audit.
I thought you were going to say Perkins Coie. They seem to be involved in a lot of stuff too.
You can say that again, but that this was Covington and Burling, or Burling and Covington, and that.
I think Obama's Organization for Action or Organization for America. Is behind a lot of this protesting that are popping up like dandelions all over the country. I think he and Valerie Jarrett and Michelle sit in there in Washington, D.C., and they organize these protests, but then they tip off Black Lives Matter and Antifa, and then, of course, they show up and turn it into a violent situation. So it's all coordinated. That's what I believe.
Well, certainly nobody has done anything to reverse.
You know about Obama's Organization for Action or Organization for America? It's like a follow-on to ACORN. They have chapters all over the country, 30,000 or more volunteers that will show up and do their bidding at a moment's notice.
Right. That's I did service for Orly Tates in Chicago back in 2012 on that organization. And that, you know, look, Commander,
we got like
I
a fifth column in this country. You know what I mean?
Well,
hey, Chris, thanks for calling in. I'm going to move on with
you
the
bet.
Show.
You bet. Right.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got to get Sharon on there. I've taken enough of your time, Mike.
Waiting for her to call in. We're going to go to Gary from California. Go ahead, Gary.
Okay, guys.
Hey, Gary, what's the Gary W?
Yeah, really. Thanks, Charles. I got disconnected, and I had a rough time getting back in. Ruth helped me out here. A few points I'd like to make. First of all, no disrespect to Mickey, who has done yeoman's work and is to be admired. She's incorrect on the India law. Dual citizenship is not allowed. I know this also firsthand because I have about 20 good friends that live in my neighborhood, very, very good friends. They're all successful professionals from India, and they are not allowed to be citizens of India. They have to take out, if they want to be Americans, they can't have dual citizenship. And some of them have persons of Indian origin cards, which give them benefits if you hold a U.S. passport. So Kamala Harris, she was born, according to the 14th Amendment, which I don't necessarily agree, she's born a Native American pursuant to a statute, basically, but with a foreign citizen, obviously, she's not a natural-born citizen. And as Charles pointed out, my article of American Thinker in the blog section of American Thinker on August 10th clearly states that she was automatically considered a citizen of Jamaica when she was born. Now, at Neil,
and they allow dual citizenship down there, correct?
Jamaica allows dual citizenship. India does not. With regards to Neil, who had a long phone call earlier in the program and expressed a lot of angst about the fact that the media types don't allow things to get, you know, they basically filter everything. Let me just, you know, tell you a few little anecdotal stories which are very current, okay? I had a private phone conversation with Sebastian Gorka early Saturday afternoon. I won't tell you how I made contact with him. I talked to him for a good 10 minutes, and that's a long time. And basically, he didn't want to hear anything about it, and he told me to concentrate on our policies and get her out that way. My point was that if you stopped her cold at the beginning, or Obama cold at the beginning, we wouldn't be in this mess. But he was adamant. He said, you're not seeing my point. You're getting angry with me. You don't see the forest for the trees. And he basically shut me down. So there's one guy that has a radio show. He's very talented. He's a Trump supporter. He doesn't want to go near this subject. So, and he has 3 million listeners. The within the hour of Kamala Harris being announced as the VP candidate, I came in from the garden. My son said, "Did you hear the news?" And I knew exactly what he was referring to. I called Hannity's show right away. I have never, ever been able to get in the queue. I don't waste my time. And I also know that it's basically a fool's errand to try to even get on the show if you're going to be truthful about what the topic is. But I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to, you know, I want to talk about Kamala Harris. Screener asked me what I wanted to talk about. Well, I said, well, she just got announced and everything. I want to talk about her. And she goes, what about? I said, well, you know, she's unconstitutional. Well, she was born in California, wasn't she? I said, yes, but that's not a natural-born citizen. The screener goes, she's a citizen, right? I said, yes, but she's not a natural-born citizen. But she's a citizen, right? I said, yes, and then she hung up. So you know that Hannity is not going to – the instructions are out that you're not allowed to get through and talk about the subject. Now let's talk about the great one, the great Mark Levin, who I admire. I have a love-hate relationship with him because his program on TV is very educational, and he conducts himself in a very sober, serious way. He asks good questions, and he listens. On the radio program, you know, he's a madman half the time. It's funny sometimes, but he is obstinate and stubborn. This is a guy that claims to be a constitutional lawyer, and I tore him apart in an article years ago when he was supporting Ted Cruz. Well, just 2 days ago on his radio program, he was lamenting the fact that he wanted to talk about Kamala's ancestry and the slave issue and everything like that. And he was getting lots of criticism in the media about, you know, Mark Levin, he's a racist and he's doing this and this, that. And you know what? I wrote down some quotes. This is from the transcript from Mark Levin's program 2 days ago, and you'll see the irony when you hear the quote. This is Levin talking. Why do they want to shut me down? They want to have these discussions. I want to participate. And now I'm not allowed to talk about it. They get to choose the history. They're creating the narrative. I'm legitimately curious about it. If people are going to raise the issue all the time, I want to know more about it. But you're just not allowed to talk about it. So it's really bizarre to see, watch this, and no, I'm not going to shut up about it. The Democratic Party and their media surrogates don't get to tell me what I can say and can't say. But you can see the irony. That's Mark Levin when he's talking to people that want to talk about natural-born citizenship.
Well,
see,
didn't you get on his radio show one time and he hung up on you or cut you off?
Well, no. I wrote an article about him and he used his own words. I did a lot of research with transcripts and everything and used his own words against him.
I thought you
and
called
made him look
him
like
time.
A blithering. We challenged him on. He said he would take a legitimate debate on the issue of Cruz.
Okay.
And Mario and Apuzzo and I. We kept calling.
Right.
I did the calling. We called the producer, and they just shined us on all the time. Now, one of my favorite media types, conservative, Larry Elder, I used to call in his show all the time, and I used to try to bring this subject up. And you know the last time I talked to Larry Elder? Several years ago, he said, Gary, I love your passion on this issue, but I'm sick and tired of it. I don't want to hear it anymore. You know, he was elected. He's in. It's done with. So this is the attitude. I bumped into Ben Shapiro one time years ago, and I tried to confront him, and he said, get over it. Drop it. So these are people.
I talked to Mark. I talked to you about a summit in 2010 with a couple other people and presented him with some of the writings that we both, you know, I did and other people did. He claimed he didn't even hear of Miner versus Happersad and know what it meant then. You know, he pleaded
right.
ignorance and walked
right.
away after listening for a few minutes. And he said, oh, I'll look into that case. We never heard of
okay,
him again.
Okay, well, my last comment related to current events is that, you know, I'm like you, Charles. I take the initiative. I research. I dig and stuff like that. I got a hold of John Eastman, the guy that wrote the Newsweek article.
Oh,
okay?
Great.
And it's just email exchange. Not, but I've got his phone number. It's not hard to find these things. These content. He's on a faculty of Chapman University here in Southern California, and he was going to be the guest on Larry Elder's radio show two nights ago or last Friday night or something like last Friday night I think. So I emailed him right away. And I sent him a voicemail right away, and I said, when you go on, you need to talk about the fact that she is also a dual citizen, because he never addressed that in his Newsweek article.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was interviewed by Larry. It was a really lame interview. It was only like 5 minutes. It was pathetic. I waited all program to I listened to it. So I sent him an email back. Oh, no, he sent me an email after the program. He said, oh, I didn't get your message and everything. He says, but I agree with everything you said about the dual citizen. Well, if that's the case, Eastman, why were you supporting Ted Cruz for president?
And why is he conflating 14th Amendment citizenship with natural-born citizens? I can't believe a man of that intelligence and education could engage in such deceptive manipulation of words.
Well, there's so many stupid people out there in the faculty. Garrett.
No, I believe it's purposeful. I think it's
purposeful. There's a whole bunch of liberal professors that just say, if you're born in the country, you're a natural-born citizen. And my point, and I'll shut up and I'll go, but my point is that I will stick on this Kamala Harris like a wet blanket for the next 65, 70, 80 days or whatever, because I promised her when I wrote to her in 2017, I said, if you dare run, you're going to hear from me. But what that triggered was an article, a national article, saying that I was a racist, okay? But I'm back. I'm back. She's back. I'm back. And I'm going to stick with her. But the point is the odds are very, very, very much against us. Because you've got people
I agree,
that we
just, you see the meme I made up for her with the Jamaican flag and
yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I made up a meme. It's on my website protectourliberty.org where I have I took her picture and moved it over on in front of a Jamaican flag and I write up on Kamala Harris, Jamaican citizen at birth, and You're the guy that you gave me the evidence that I could make that, because you proved that in the Constitution of Jamaica that she is a citizen of birth of Jamaica.
She can go there and live there tomorrow if she wants to. She can go. She could do something and get the. She could do something negative to our country and then exile herself in Jamaica.
She could be drafted into her military service.
She can participate in the legislative, activities and everything like that.
She could screw over the nation and take a passport to Jamaica and escape.
Well, the classic example of screwing over America is Indonesian, Kenyan, Canadian, God knows where, Obama. Because that
exactly.
guy didn't have America. That
he
guy
destroyed
didn't have America,
our military.
Didn't, he
our
didn't
military
have our interest city. He was out to screw us from day one. Fundamental transformation. You don't have
he
to
was,
fundamentally.
He was fulfilling the dreams from my father book. He was fulfilling the dreams from my father. That's what he was doing.
You never fundamentally transform something that's inherently good. Never.
When
anyway.
You put
Gary,
a person with foreign influence at birth in the Oval Office, this is what you get.
Yep, exactly. All right. Well, keep
Gary, why don't
work,
you give
guys.
Out your website and blog for the audience, please?
Oh, I don't blog anymore. Give Us Liberty, but I don't do it anymore. Give Us Liberty 1776. You can go back there and see lots of great articles and do searches and everything like that. But, you know, I put a lot of time and energy in this, just like Charles and Sharon and everything like that. And I had to get back some of my life. But I'm this, you know, you may bleep me out. This BITCH from California, this is a wicked woman. This is a horrible, horrible person. She's a bad, bad person, and we need
what
to stop
it,
her.
What was her lover's name? Willie Brown, or what was his
Willie
name?
Brown? Yeah, yeah. This is a woman that had no morals. She has no integrity. She was a horrible candidate, and she's a horrible candidate because she doesn't know what positions to take because she's a panderer and a liar.
Mm-hmm.
She's a BITCH.
That goes into politics. Thank you, Gary. Thanks for calling,
right,
and I have my next goal. Holding on. Thank you. Have a good night. Well, we all have our opinions, some stronger than most and others. Mickey, you mentioned some Twitter friends I wanted to throw in there. Don't forget Jersey Girl. And with that, I'm going to bring on our next guest, who is Ms. Sharon Rondo. She just called in.
You want me to drop off, Mike?
Hi,
no,
this is Sharon Rondo from thepostemail.com, and you are listening to Mike Volin on WOBC Radio.
Well, I thank you for that, but let's bring her on the air and thank her personally. Sharon, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, Mike. Thank you so much for having me. Good to join all of you again.
We've been
Good
getting
evening,
kind
Sharon.
Of all over the place. It's Commander Kirshner. He's with us.
Yes,
I've
been listening. It's been a very spirited conversation.
And we have Mickey Booth.
Wonderful to see all of you again, see or hear.
Sharon, what are your thoughts on the eligibility issue of Kamala Harris?
Well, again, this has been a fascinating discussion to listen to, and I have been listening to it since 8 o'clock. I think the issue is always worth discussing, researching, debating. It's just always a good idea to research and see what we find when we look back in history. As a journalist, what I want to say is I don't have the answer. I don't pretend to have the answer, who is eligible and who is not. But I think it is so important for us to look back, as many of you, all of you have, and have done this wonderful research, much of it submitted to the Post and Email, and put out there so that people can become educated on what the issues are, and specifically with this natural-born citizen issue, which seems to be taboo, according to some in the mainstream media. We're just not even supposed to discuss it. We're not supposed to write about it. We're not supposed to raise questions. And it's absurd, because this is what we're supposed to do when we're vetting candidates for office, whether it's a very small town with a first selectman and you want to know if that candidate is eligible. It's like a mayor in small New England towns, whether it's city council, whether it's governor, state representative or senator. We need to make sure that the people who are running are eligible to the offices respectively that they seek. So, of course, it's not absurd. It's not taboo. It's not forbidden. These are things that we as citizens are supposed to do. So I refuse to let anyone tell me that it's racist or it's this or it's that to look into a candidate's eligibility. This is absolutely what we should be doing. So the debate is spirited. The research is deep and fascinating, as I said, and very meaningful, because what we want to do is get to the heart of what the founders meant when they put that in the Constitution.
And you're right, Sharon. By jumping right to the race card and pulling it out, they divert the conversation. They divert the topic. Call you a racist. They want to get you fired up. They want to label you as a racist for, oh my goodness, listen to what she said. She's not eligible. And I'm sorry, I don't believe she's eligible either. Let me jump in there for a minute. We had, I'm going to use Ted Cruz as an example. We had Ted Cruz, who was born in Canada, but everybody said, when I say everybody, the media, the pundits, the bloggers, all that, everybody said, oh, no, his mother was a citizen. Oh, okay. So now we have Kamala Harris, who is running for office. Nobody mentions her parents or what they do. It's all out in the blogs and the media now, but they're trying to cover it, saying, oh, no, she's a citizen. Make up your mind. Is it a citizen? Is it a mother citizen? Is it the father citizenship? What is it that's a natural born citizen? You have
well,
to
that's
go back
exactly
to
right. And, you know, someone pointed out to me, and I had actually forgotten about this, but someone wrote an article published at the Post and Email years ago, I believe it was in 2010, and he made the point that Senate Resolution 511, which was drafted essentially for John McCain, the late John McCain, and it resolved essentially in the Senate that he was a natural-born citizen. It didn't matter so much about the foreign birth. In fact, that was basically minimized, but he was born to two citizen parents. Now, that's true. That's a fact. But they said because of that, he's a natural-born citizen. So exactly what you said is carried over into this. So you can have one parent who was born in the United States, making that person a U.S. citizen, presumably, or you could be born outside the country to two citizen parents, or you could be like Kamala Harris or Marco Rubio, who was born in the country, but the parents were not naturalized. And as you say, what really is it? So all of these things qualify as a natural-born citizen? How could this possibly be?
The founders and framers said you can't be born with foreign influence. That's what John Jay told George Washington. So any of these situations and circumstances, my answer is, was the person born with any foreign influence or foreign citizenship and attendant allegiance? And that if the answer to that is yes, they're not a natural-born citizen.
The term is too ambiguous. It has to be defined. The Constitution, the wording has to be changed. It only applies to
the office of president. John Jay picked it because it was he said it would be a strong check against foreign influence. There's only the three legs away in getting citizenship. The only one it is a strong check if all three of them preclude foreign influence.
You know, I could make, in my opinion, I can understand how two military people that were deployed outside of the country on military service, on active duty, had a child and it was born to them, and then the child returned to the country after their duty expired or they were called back to the country.
Was the child born in a military base, at a base hospital under an American flag, or on, a German hospital?
Right.
According to Amir D. Vittel, if you are born in the foreign service of your country, I think it's Volume 1, Chapter 19, Section 215, I think. If you are in a foreign service, say diplomatic or military service under orders from your country, you are said to have not quit your country. So your country follows the flag if you're there under military orders. That's the compromise that Vittel recognized, and I can live with that. But
right.
the absolute definition for – you know, those are the rare circumstances. Why can't we find
And that's
so we have to accept a triple citizen with Ted Cruz and
or with Kamala Harris, with maybe is not even a citizen at all because of some esoteric situation like that, like a foreign birth to a foreign diplomat or a person with under orders, or they're under military orders in a foreign country, and their child was born at a military base under the American flag. They like are on a flagged American ship in the middle of the ocean. They aren't born with any foreign influence on them.
Right, and
that's the secret. If they're born with foreign citizenship or influence, that's what the natural born citizen clause precluded when they picked it. Now, today, with all the different changes in the citizenship laws, you can get statutory citizenship all different ways. So we just have to make sure when we are looking at the natural born citizenship that they were not born with any foreign influence on them. That's the key. That's what the framers wanted to achieve. John Jay said it in his letter. It isn't a matter of figuring it out. He's told us why he picked that term.
Yeah.
Okay, would everybody hold on for a minute? I'm going to go to a caller, see if they have a question.
I'm sorry for interrupting, Sharon.
Oh, no, that's okay. Not at all.
Oh, no, that's part of the conversation. We're going to go to Neil Turner from California. Neil, thank you for holding on. Do you have a question for Sharon or Charles, or do you have a comment?
All three. Okay. Chameleon Harris. I think it's Chameleon. Is that her first name? Oh, that's her activity.
Well, that's her. That's the way she lives her life.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, I think we should maybe promote Harry Belafonte's old song, Jamaica Town, and then they'll know that she really is a citizen of Jamaica. I've also seen a copy of her birth certificate that says she's Caucasian. So why are they pushing this black thing? I think we should push the Caucasian thing. Yes.
Can you get us a copy of that birth certificate?
Yeah, it's a very hazy one, but somebody put it up on Facebook. I'll take a look at that, and I'll send it to you.
Neil, let me answer that question about the black question. What's happening? We're having a bad feedback from you here, Neil. Hold on. What's happening is that's part of politics. That's not about what we're talking tonight, and I'm not chastising you for bringing that up. When you run on a ticket, and you say, I'm black. Okay, well, fine. I'm going to take care of black people. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. However, I challenge that because she's Jamaican and Indian. Which one is it? Jamaica is not black. Nobody from Jamaica that I know of calls themselves black. They're Jamaican. They're not from Africa. They're not Negro. They're not colored. They're not black. Well, they're not African-American, which is, the current politically correct term. That's where that comes in, Neil. And I played an audio clip earlier, I don't know if you heard it, about her stating her blackness. But anyway, back to the eligibility issue about being eligible because she was born here. Well, okay, when did she get citizenship? Upon birth, is that correct?
Does she have anything to show? Somebody's got to start asking her for her birth certificate to prove that she's eligible, and I haven't seen anything publicly stated or asked about it.
Well, her birth certificate will not prove that she's eligible. All it will show is where she's born. She's got to prove she's born with no foreign influence.
Well, the birth certificate that I saw shows two foreign influences. It shows an Indian mother and a Jamaican father, but I'll get that to you and to you, Mike. And
okay, great.
Ted Cruz, you know, he's never shown us a U.S. citizenship paper. He's naturalized,
correct.
Or is he?
That's correct.
Or is he? Does he have a birth certificate? We've never seen that, so they're obviously avoiding it. Now,
so the best he can have is what they call us. What's that statement of foreign birth certificate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Some years ago, Jeff Lichter was in New York at the Trump Tower, and they were presenting the fact of Obama's ineligibility. And one of the things they presented was a three-page executive summary stating the requirements to be a natural-born citizen. I wrote that sucker, and it was taken from your work, Commander. So,
and I was on hold for a conference call that day.
Was that right? Well, he obviously knows the requirements, and the fact that he hasn't spoken out about it, it means
I can tell you also he knows a lot about it because I faxed him my lawsuit and about 20 other papers I wrote at his request, Donald Trump's request. They were faxed to his lawyer.
Well, he's obviously saving that because, you know, I've always thought that with one fell swoop, all he does is expose Obama as being a hoax that he was, and he doesn't have to do all these executive orders to undo Obama's executive orders, just declare him a hoax. But he's got too many other battles to fight, so I put that on the back burner. And whether or not pushing Kamala Harris's non-natural-born status, there's another thing that I really want to get in front of Trump and get him to do. Now, he's been a victim of this, people on the COVID hoax. And I have created a little document. It's just a little slip of paper that I put in every prepaid envelope I get, every fundraiser. Sometimes I add a 45-cent stamp if I have to, or what are they, 55 now? I don't know.
Right.
But what it does say is that President Trump, stop the shutdown, stop the mask, stop the distancing, and stop the vaccine. It says fire Fauci, Burks, and Adams, and hire Buttar, Mikovits, and Kennedy. Also, he should free Assange. We get an awful lot of information if he would bring Assange back. Is a free man. Now, there's an interesting thing that's happened with this pandemic, so-called pandemic, and the lockdown. Is you know that all the well baby clinic visitations have been suspended, just like elective surgery has been suspended. As a result, infant deaths have been reduced by 30%. Instead of 700 a week, infants dying every week in the United States, there's only 500. Why? Because well baby checks are vaccine appointments. They're jabbing those kids with poisons. And so the big issue for me is stop the vaccine, stop the mandatory thing, get rid of Gates, and get rid of the Fauci, Burks, and Adams pushing for a vaccine, because that's what's going to kill us. So I just thought I'd throw that out for your thoughts. And I think I sent you a little bit of it on Mike.
Mike, maybe you want to have Neil on to do a separate show on that.
Yeah. Okay. I still annoy calling, so I don't think I want to take the call from them. So, you know, I don't know that we're going to get Trump on board with this until after the elections. So what is the biggest thing that we can do? We've got to get people out. I mean, they are the enemies are pushing this whole COVID thing as a way to suspend the election. And the write-in thing is my biggest terror because what I've learned is, you know, the 20th Amendment says that the Congress can appoint a president if none has been selected. So Congress will go into effect on the 3rd of January with the elections, and by the 20th of January, the president is no longer the president. And if no one has been elected, Congress will appoint him. And I fear that that's the direction that they're pushing us with all this post office, USPS thing. It is criminal. I want my vote to count. And to tell you, every year I do a mail-in ballot. I'm registered to do a mail-in ballot just in case I'm out of town when it comes time to vote. But I never.
But you asked for that one. It wasn't bulk mail to you. You asked for that, right?
Yeah. I asked for it. That's the difference. And I take my mail-in ballot and I go to the polling booth and I go over and demand that they see my ID. And they become apoplectic. No, we don't want to see it. We can't see it. And I try to embarrass the heck out of them for refusing to see my ID. Are we still on?
Neil, that's a great thing. I'm laughing. Very good. Neil, I got to move on with the show. We had a lot of discussion earlier in the show, and I'm going to take one more call, and we're going to get back to the discussion.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Neil. Have a good night. Okay, hold on a minute. I'm going to take one more call. I want Sharon to have a little bit of a time. And we're going to go to Sergeant Jeffrey Harrison, United States Marine Corps, retired. Sarge, you're on the air. Do you have a question for the commander or Sharon?
Well, actually, I have a couple ideas I'd like to throw out real quick if I could.
Make it short, Sarge. You've got 5 minutes.
I will. We need to come up with a war plan ourselves, okay? That's what I think we need to do. We need to become more active and more with this Harris thing. This could be maybe something that opens the door. They let her come on knowing she was not a natural born citizen. And I just think we need to continue to make moves. I don't know what we've got to do, call our congressman, write letters, continue to do something like that. You know, what I was thinking was one other side thing here is a few years ago here in Pennsylvania, there was some legislation that was on the burner, but it didn't go through about being a natural born citizen. And then there was one other state, and I can't remember what the other state was. But I'm just going to leave Arizona. Well, thank you. So anyways, I just want to throw those things out. This could be maybe an opportunity. So basically, I'm going to bug off right now and let you guys continue with the show.
Thanks for calling in, Jeff. I appreciate all your help. I know we're still in contact and we're still moving forward. Sharon, I want to ask you a question. In a conversation I had with you earlier this week, you mentioned a candidate, I believe, in the state of Vermont that wasn't eligible to be on the ballot.
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire.
And that was back in, I want to say it was 2008, and the man was born in Egypt, and the Secretary of the State, I believe, I'd have to look up for all the details, but she removed him automatically before voting even took place because she said, well, you were born outside the country, you can't run. He did sue, and he lost.
Where were his parents born?
Well, that's a good question. I believe, I'm imagining they were born in Egypt or somewhere in the Middle East because it didn't even really go that far, but she just realized that he was, I believe, a naturalized U.S. citizen because he had come over with permission and everything, done it the right way, become a U.S. citizen, but he was born in Egypt, and she caught that, and she said, you can't run for president, you're not eligible.
Well, somebody did their homework, obviously.
Yes.
It shows the Secretary of State can act when they want to act.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. There was no question about his eligibility. And so if it's clear that you have to be born in the country, then why was it that these two former solicitors general were trying to twist things in such a way to say that Ted Cruz was eligible? He was born outside the country. Period. So
yes.
How do you, and as you said before, Mike, how do you twist and turn this thing and who really is eligible and who isn't? Oh, well, you're not eligible if you're born outside the country, but well, then maybe if you had one U.S. citizen parent, maybe you are. You just can't do this. We do need a hard and fast definition, I think. Unfortunately, our educational system and everything has not taught civics. It hasn't taught the Constitution for a very long time from what I've seen and from what I've read. So people are really unclear about it, and I think it's morphed from perhaps the more stringent definition of born in the country to two U.S. citizen parents, no foreign allegiance, no suggestion of foreign allegiance or influence, to Oh, well, if you're just born in the United States, that's a natural-born citizen. Because I think for a long time, the issue of illegal alien parents, I mean, it wasn't even an issue. I don't think it was an issue, certainly, to the framers, or even 100 years later. I just don't think they were thinking about, you know, what if the parents are in the country illegally? I don't think it was within the panorama of what they were thinking. But now we have to consider all of these things and go back to what we believe the founders might have meant.
Very, very good point. Like I said again, it's too ambiguous. You have everybody claiming, well, I'm eligible. We'll go back to Cruz because his mother was born in the U.S., even though she left the U.S. and spent a good amount of time outside the U.S., including Britain. And now I don't see any allegiance there. And Mr. Cruz spent a good many years, I believe age of six, in Canada during his early years. And now we have Ms. Harris, whose parents weren't even citizens at the time of her birth. She was just born in the country.
They were here on a temporary visa. They weren't even here permanently. They were temporary visa holders when it happened.
I guess you consider that an anchor baby.
Not quite. It'd be illegal. Illegal. I guess illegal would be an anchor baby, but it's just one step close to an anchor baby, in my opinion. But some will say that's an anchor baby. But I believe it has to be here illegally to be an anchor baby. But that's just me. She's not natural born. She was born with dual citizenship, and that is certainly foreign allegiance. I mean,
so
that's exactly what John Jay didn't want. And Emir Vivatel in Chapter 1, Volume 1, Chapter 19, Section 212, succinctly defined in one sentence what a natural-born citizen is. George Washington, Franklin, John Jay, many, many other founders and framers read that. It was one of the it's one of the treatises of the Enlightenment era that helped give birth to the noble experiment of our country. And the far left, the Marxists, the foreign influence, they're trying to trash it all now, bring it down.
Well, so when are government officials, when are journalists, when are people that have blogs, that have a lot of readers, when are they going to try to define this natural-born citizens clause? How much more?
They're afraid of the racist term. They're afraid of being called a name.
Right, and that's why we're being called racist immediately when the subject comes up about natural-born citizen clause. What are your qualifications? Where were your parents born? Are you a citizen? Were you a citizen? Were you naturalized? How long did you stay in this country? Did you go to another country to get educated? Did you come back? And that's what should be looked at.
They're also afraid, Mike, if they have a skeleton in their closet of the cancel culture, they'll get fired.
That's true, and I
right, Sharon?
I guess a lot of them do.
Yes, this cancel culture is, and I haven't used the term in my writings, but it's a very real thing. You see it on Twitter all the time. There's a big dichotomy between what Twitter will allow from certain tweeters, if you will, certain participants on the platform, and others who are maybe tweeting about something different, have a different opinion, maybe want to get a little bit of news out, or it's just incredible what they will allow or not allow, and it's pure censorship. I've written some articles, as you know, about censorship. People just tweeting a link. Many of them, in fact, linked to Gary Wilmot's article at American Thinker. They just posted the link, and they said, here's a story I think is worth reading, or here's an article, or maybe they didn't offer any commentary at all. And these things were censored. There was you, Commander, and then there was another one who wrote in to me, and I put that in a subsequent story.
I put one
people
of your articles on Facebook, and it's blocked right now, 301. They block it. You cannot get to your article that I posted on my Facebook account.
Yeah, and I'd like to know, what are these companies afraid of? Well, first of all, if they're going to be a publisher, if they're going to actually curate and go through content and say, well, we'll publish this, but we don't do that, I do that. I mean, there are things that I get submitted to me that I don't think meet the standard, or there's something that maybe there's a little inaccuracy and the person doesn't want to change it, or whatever. There are things I don't accept, but I'm a publisher. I'm not a social media company. company. I'm a publisher. But if you're social media, everyone, it's supposed to be a public square for everyone, unless you're inciting violence or encouraging illegal activity, threatening someone, any of those illegal things. We don't want to see that. But why not just let people bandy all kinds of ideas about and have it out civilly, hopefully? What is the fear? What is the fear that these companies have of different ideas? Different ideas, different viewpoints, different parts of research from our history all contribute to a healthy, robust, educational experience for every American and even non-Americans. Why should we not have that and enlighten ourselves as much as we possibly can?
Yeah, the truth will whittle out, but they don't want to let the truth to get out there, because eventually if the truth is out there, it will will out, and they don't want it to will out. They want to keep deceiving our country and allow foreigners and foreign influence in the highest office, in the Oval Office, because they're out to subvert this country. They're out to undermine our military power, and it just about happened under Obama, and they hope to get Hillary in there to finish it, and she didn't make it. Now they want to put another one in there who will basically be a hollow shell puppet of Obama, Hillary, Valerie Jarrett, and her ilk. Their goals for this country is to undermine it. Dreams from my father.
It's the enemy within in our country. I'm sorry to say that.
They're Marxists, Black Lives Matter, and their father. They're terrorists, anarchists, and Marxists, and they're out to bring down this country.
Okay, I have to wrap up the show. I want to thank everybody for calling in. It was great. Sharon, thank you very much, as always.
Can,
I know
can Sharon and I put out our website real quick, Mike?
You guys most certainly can.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Okay, thanks. It's the post and email, but the URL is www.thepostemail.com. And I'm online publishing 7 days a week, 365 days a year on constitutional issues and government corruption.
And my Commander Kirchner, I have a website, protectourliberty.org, protectourliberty.org. And my blogging is done at CDR Kirchner. That's CDRKERCHNER.wordpress.com. Thank you, Mike.
I want to thank you. And Mickey Booth, thank you very much for being on the show. And both those websites, thepostemail.com and protectourliberty.org, are on my front page of my website, where'sobamasbirthcertificate.com. I'm going to end the show with about a two-minute dialogue. Sharon, thank you very much. Commander, once again, thank you very much for appearing
on
the show.
Thank you for having
me. We took a lot of plaque in it. All right, you're welcome.
God bless.
Okay, there we have it. Things got a little heated there. I mean, there's a lot of passion going on with our views about politics. But what it comes down to is one candidate is eligible because of this. Another candidate is eligible because of this. Another candidate is eligible because of this. Totally different things. Where does it stop? When does it stop? When will somebody take hold, take charge, and address it? Stop calling us racist. Stop calling us kooks. Stop calling us nutjobs. You can't have it every way. All right, I wanted to give a shout-out to Dwayne the Trucker. Thank you for listening. And all my listeners from Rockland County, Nanuet, Nyack, Hackensack, that general area, appreciate you all for listening and tuning into the show. Don't forget, next Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, Corey LeCue will be hosting the show on the Antifa controversy, riots. And then we're going to have Ed Sunderland has agreed to do a couple of shows. We're ramping it up. We're ramping it up from today to Election Day. Thank all my Twitter friends. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. It was kind of lively tonight. And we still have to examine this. We have to get an answer about eligibility clause to hold the office of President of the United States. And it's sad. Okay, everybody, I'm going to play an exit song. I want to thank all the truckers in the United States of America for doing what they do. You're all good buddies. Thanks again. This is Mike Volin. Where's Obama's birth certificate.com, 570-284-7477. Have a good night.
Breaker 1-9, that's here. floor, stroking bore, seat cover starting to gain. Now, Beaver, you were trucking with a rubber duck, and I'm about to pull a plug on your drain. Mexico on I-40 like a Texas lizard on glass. 1,000 pedals was mashing the metal and bears was walking the grass. We trucked all day and we trucked all night, Big Benny improving our style. We could tell by the smell we was heading for hell and the devil was Dirty Lyle. Mike. But the great rubber ducks sort of run out of luck when he crossed that final bridge.